There's something you should know about Wilayatul Faqih. Anyone who believes that Islam only deals with a certain aspect of human life and neglects another is mistaken.
The Holy Quran says
we have not neglected anything in the book.
Imam Khomeini also tells us that,
unlike other atheist schools of thought, Islam takes into account all aspects of human life. That is, individual, social, physical, spiritual, cultural, political, economic, and military affairs of life.
Back up in history, after World War II, the world was divided into two major ideologies which dominated over all others.
The capitalist ideology of the West and the communist ideology of the East.
The rest of the world was to decide which of the two ideologies to base their governments on.
That's when Imam Khomeini and his supporters in Iran rose up and said,
neither East nor West, but rather Islam, Islam.
The Islamic Revolution took place, and the Shah, who was the puppet of the Western powers, was booted out of Iran.
And the Holy Quran says,
it is not righteousness that you turn your faces towards the East or the West,
but righteousness is this, that one should believe in Allah and the Last Day and the angels and the Book and the Prophets
and give away wealth
out of love for him,
to the near kin and the orphans and the needy and the wayfarer and the beggars, and for the emancipation of the captives,
and keep up prayer and pay the poor rate,
and the performers of their promise when they make a promise, and the patient in distress and affliction in the time of conflict.
These are they who are true to themselves, and these are they who guard against evil.
Thus was the Islamic Republic formed, with the Islamic foundations of the Quran and the Ahadith under the jurisdiction of the concept of Wilayatul Faqih.
But what is Wilayatul Faqih?
Wilaya refers to the divine guardianship,
which comes from Allah,
and faqih, which means the jurist.
But not all of them. Imam al-Askari, the 11th infallible imam, defined this further for us.
Whoever from among the jurists protects himself, maintains his religion, goes against his desires, and obeys the command of his master, then the general public must obey him.
These are only some of the Shia jurists, not all of them.
Wilayatul faqih is the concept of the wilaya, divine authority of Allah, through the faqih, the jurist.
Here's three options: an un-Islamic government, anarchy, or an Islamic government.
Anarchy is a state of disorder due to the absence or non-recognition of authority.
It's when the people go, no, we don't want any governing authority, let's just live.
That actually sounds nice, but practically it does not work. Imam Ali highlighted for us that
there is no way out for a people under a righteous or unrighteous ruler.
You're either going to have a righteous one or an unrighteous one, but there must be a governing authority to administer laws and keep order within society.
Now, the question is, who should be that governing authority?
An un-Islamic government, i.e. taghut?
How are we defining a taghut?
After all, there are many governing authorities which claim to be Islamic, but they're not.
Look at the Saudi regime. It's a monarchy where the people have virtually no say, and not based on the Quran or Ahadith.
In short, any authority which is not considered to be a divine authority is a taghut.
And whoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, then it is those who are the disbelievers.
So the authority must be someone who judges by what Allah has revealed, otherwise it is the authority of the disbelievers, i.e. the taghut.
There are some who claim to believe in Islam, but when it comes to whose legislation to follow and who to be essentially ruled over by, they turn to other than the divine authority.
Have you not seen those who claim to have believed in what was revealed to you, O Muhammad, and what was revealed before you? They wish to refer legislation to taghut,
while they were commanded to reject it, and Satan wishes to lead them far astray.
This verse further illustrates that it's hypocritical to wish to refer to the taghut for our laws and governance rather than Allah,
and that Allah commands us to reject any authority other than the authority of Allah.
But then, if authority does not belong to any taghut, any individual or government which does not get its authority directly from Allah, and we're commanded to reject such authority, then who does it belong to?
We can't just have anarchy.
This is what the Khawarij did.
They were kind of like the Daesh, ISIS of the past, and they rejected both the governments of Muawiyah and Imam Ali, saying that the Quran says, verdict is only that of Allah.
Imam Ali said about this that there is a limit for every government, that finally a just government will come to power to vindicate the rights of the oppressed.
Islam has highlighted for us that the person who is in power ought to be someone who does not crave positions of power,
but is rather someone who is recognized by the people and takes up the mantle of power
only out of a sense of responsibility to protect the truth and eliminate falsehood.
When Imam Ali said, "I swear by God, this worn out pair of shoes is, in my view, more valuable than governing you unless I can protect the truth or eliminate falsehood,"
was he merely saying this to express his feelings, or was he saying this to set a precedent for future generations to follow?
The primary principle established by the Holy Quran in this regard is that the divine authority must not be somebody who is merely appointed by themselves, like a dictatorship, nor should it be somebody appointed merely by the people, like a liberal democracy, nor should it be somebody appointed by their bloodline, like a monarchy, but rather it should be someone who is appointed by Allah. He said, "Lo, I have appointed thee a leader, imam for mankind." Ibrahim said, "And of my offspring will there be leaders?" He said, "My covenant includeth not the wrongdoers." It's clear that the Holy Quran tells us that the authority lies in the hands of the prophets and imams directly appointed by Allah, and that this authority, wilaya, came down all the way from Adam to the Holy Prophet and through the 12 Imams until the 12th and final Imam went into occultation, the Ghaybah. Today, the authority, the wilaya, belongs to the 12th Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, who is in occultation, meaning that he walks the earth, but his identity is unknown and he is unrecognized by the people. What do we do now that the Imam is in Ghaybah? We know that the Muslim Ummah needs to rise and prepare for the return of Imam Mahdi so that he can rid the world once and for all of injustice, but in order for the Muslim Ummah to be prepared, it needs to have a leadership. And that's precisely what Wilayatul Faqih is. Islam advocates that we always implement as much of Islam as is possible. For example, Salah. If you're injured and you can't pray standing up, then you must pray sitting down. And if you can't pray sitting down, then you should pray lying down. You can't just say, "Oh, I'm injured, so I'm not going to pray Salah at all." No, the show must go on. Similarly, however much of Islam can be implemented, must be implemented. If you can't have a purely divine government led by an infallible imam, then at least aim for the next best thing, which is an Islamic government led by the Wali Faqih. The Holy Quran tells us, "O you who believe, obey Allah and obey the Messenger and those in authority among you." Who are those in authority among you? Well, according to the Shia school of thought, this refers to the 12 infallible imams who were directly appointed by Allah. And what happens when the last imam goes into occultation? Well, if we look at the rest of the verse, it says, "And if you disagree over anything, refer it to Allah and the Messenger if you should believe in Allah and the last day. That is the best way and has the best result." Meaning that when the Prophet and those in authority are not accessible to us, we must refer back to Allah and the Messenger through the Quran and the Ahadith. Now, who has the ability to do this? Who has the ability to understand the Quran, its context, when and where and why the verses were revealed? Who can differentiate between weak and strong ahadith? Who has a strong grasp on the Islamic sciences, particularly fiqh? It is none other than the faqih, the mujtahid, the ayatullah. And it makes perfect sense that when the Prophet and Imams are not available, you refer to whomsoever knows them best and can refer to Allah and the Messenger. Not some random charismatic speaker, not some random scholars who may have studied Islam very deeply, yet lack the ability for ijtihad. Nor any politician who has next to no knowledge of Allah's commandments. No, the authority has to be in the hands of the one who has the ability to refer to Allah and the Messenger through the Islamic literature, i.e. the faqih. But not just any faqih. It has to be someone who is not affiliated with the tyrant rulers. The Holy Prophet said, "The jurists are the trustees of the messengers, as long as they do not enter into the dunya." Someone asked, "O Messenger of Allah, what do you mean by their entering into the dunya?" The Holy Prophet said, "Following the tyrant ruler. If they do this, then be wary of them when it comes to your religion." The concept of the wilaya of the faqih, the guardianship of the jurist, was established by the Holy Prophet himself and expanded on by the 12 Imams. And some might argue that, "Nay, a leader who is not infallible? Impossible! Only a prophet, a messenger, or infallible imam can have the authority of Allah on earth." Actually, no. This is a fallacy.
This is not correct.
In fact, the Holy Quran demonstrates to us that Allah appointed Talut as the king.
And their prophet said to them, surely Allah has raised Talut to be a king over you.
Talut was neither a prophet nor an imam. He was just a man ready to confront the enemies of Allah.
And Allah further highlights for us why Talut was appointed.
Surely Allah has chosen him in preference to you, and he has increased him abundantly in knowledge and physique. And Allah grants his kingdom to whom he pleases.
There's no point in having a knowledgeable guy as a leader if he's a total wimp. And there's no point in having a fearsome warrior as a leader if he's got no brains. No.
Allah shows us that the divine authority has to be knowledgeable and strong enough to confront the enemies.
Indeed, the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt have perfectly laid out a criterion for recognizing the correct leader, the Wali al-Faqih.
And the aim of the Wali Faqih and those who follow him is nothing but the aim of all the divine prophets and messengers.
Some say,
nay! Bid'ah! We were never taught about this! This is just some sort of new introduction to Islam!
Wait, so you're trying to tell me that Islam is a universal religion which caters for the needs of the entire human race, but it does not provide solutions for the socio-political problems of the world?
Yes, Islam doesn't deal with that.
So you're trying to say that Islam is incomplete?
Yes, no!
Hey, it's not my fault you've been sleeping. You're the one who said that the messengers and prophets have all gone, the final imam is in occultation.
I could just relax until the imam gets back and, you know, work on my personal development.
That's why the Holy Quran tells us, Muhammad is not but a messenger. Other messengers have passed on before him. So if he was to die or be killed, would you turn back on your heels to unbelief?
If the Holy Prophet dies and the imams leave this material realm, do you really believe that the battle between good and evil is over and that you can turn back on your heels and live a comfortable life while not attempting to establish what the imams and prophets and messengers strove their entire lives to establish, i.e. a divine just system which strives for the rights of the oppressed and the freedom and enlightenment of all people?
The third verse of what is commonly referred to as Ayatul Kursi. It's often recited, but when do we actually reflect on what's actually being said?
Allah is the guardian, wali, of those who believe. He brings them out from darknesses into the light. And those who disbelieve, their guardians are taghut. They take them out of the light into the darkness.
Allah is providing a stark contrast between the believers and disbelievers.
One recognizes the wilaya of Allah, the other follows the false guardianship of the taghut.
Imam al-Sadiq, the sixth infallible imam, said that
one who presents his case to a tyrant and he gives a verdict, it is invalid,
even though it may be his lawful right,
because he has got it through the verdict of a tyrant, while Almighty Allah has commanded shunning the tyrants.
Someone asked him, then what should the people do?
He replied, see who relates our traditions and narrations to you, and who considers our permitted and prohibited, and who possesses knowledge and information about our commands.
Be prepared to follow him.
I have appointed him as an authority on you. And when he commands our commands and prohibits our prohibitions, and he is not obeyed, it is as if the command of Allah were considered unimportant and we have been denied.
And one who denies us has denied Allah.
That's why Imam Khomeini said, the wilayatul faqih is the wilaya of the messenger of Allah itself.
The jurists, the fuqaha, are the point of reference and the general authority over the Muslims.
And the wali faqih's wilaya is just like the wilaya of the imam of the time, i.e. the wilaya of Allah.
Yet people say,
nay, politics is dirty.
In fact, a man came to Imam Khomeini and said,
politics is nothing but telling lies and playing tricks. Hence, it is better for you to leave it to us.
Imam Khomeini replied, I have never been involved in such a politics.
If politics is dirty, it's because the good have done nothing to purify it.
As the saying goes, bad things happen when the good do nothing.
It's up to the good people of the earth to enjoin the good and forbid the evil through politics.
Not doing this means that you're leaving the governance in the hands of the taghut.
Dirty politics leads to dirty policies, which leads to dirty governance, which leads to dirty society. Islam came to purify society from such dirt. Imam Khomeini explains that the politics he was talking about was
a
perfect form of politics that the prophets of Islam and our leaders in Islam practiced. They came to guide people and lead them towards their real interests. Politics is meant to guide people and take into account all interests of the society and man. This is the politics of the prophets, which others are unable to implement. Shahid Mutahhari says, since the time of the prophet Noah, every prophet who came to change the existing religious order has attended to the social order as well, trying to reform it. The Holy Quran says, we verily sent our messengers with clear proofs and revealed with them the scripture and the criterion to establish justice among people. Shahid Mutahhari explains that this means that disturbing an existing corrupt order and establishing a just ideal order has been the objective for all prophetic missions. It's very clear from the Quran and the Ahadith that it has always been the objective of Islam to challenge existing modes of corrupt governance and establish its own divine just system. The entire concept of idolatry is firmly rooted in the idea of social structures being built on ideologies other than Allah.
Hey, the prophets weren't just smashing idols because they didn't like the look of them.
Essentially, the idols of the past represented certain isms as they do today.
Capitalism, communism, feminism, Marxism, fascism, racism, leftism, rightism, thatism, thisism.
All these isms are the idols of today which need to be intellectually challenged in order to wake people up. Islam provides an ideological foundation to challenge the idols of every society. It's all right there in the Quran and Ahadith. What Imam Khomeini did was take it out of the books and implement it in society. He said, if one looks at various teachings of Islam, one would conclude that Islam does not deal with only rituals and moral matters, but it is meant to establish a just government and has certain rules on tax, public finance, legal issues, jihad, and international relations as well. Islam has been a blueprint for establishing a divine government on earth.
You just never did it.
Until the Islamic Revolution took place and the system of Wilayatul Faqih was finally established. And now we're more prepared than ever before for the return of Imam al-Mahdi. But if a person tries to deny that politics is an essential part of Islam, then a lot of the Quran and Ahadith pretty much become irrelevant for that person.
The third Imam, Imam Hussein's Sermon of Mina. Let's just pretend he never said that.
The fourth Imam, Imam Zain al-Abidin's 27th supplication in Sahifa Sajjadiyya.
Let's just ignore that.
The verses of the Holy Quran which refer to legislation, spoils of war, the distribution of wealth, inheritance, taxes.
Let's just read those verses with beautiful voices and hope that nobody asks what they mean.
Nahjul Balagha?
Let's just ignore most of that.
All these things pretty much become irrelevant for one who is attempting to deny the political elements of Islam. Especially Shia Islam, the entire foundation of which, arguably, is that the Holy Prophet would not have left us without appointing a guardian and wali.
Okay, but now you're arguing that the 12th Imam went into occultation without leaving behind a criterion by which we can recognize a leader? That he simply said, just stay there until I come back.
Come on! The system of Wilayatul Faqih is firmly rooted within the established principles of the Quran and Hadith. The Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt have specified and specified and specified as to who the Wali Faqih should be in any given time. Those who choose to deny that by arguing that politics is not part of religion are just making excuses to deny the wilaya as people have done throughout history. Thus, anybody maintaining that religion is separate from politics has no knowledge of religion or politics. This was the 39th biscuit. The next one will be the 40th, which we will release before the 40th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution, inshallah. Stay tuned.